Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just follow the choir, please. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good morning and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to this very special service of worship. It is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. A special welcome to all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. My name is Amos, and I am the minister in this beautiful church. Today is also communion service, and after the service, you are all invited to join us for teas and coffees in our church hall, which can be accessed through my left. I want to also welcome our brothers and sisters who are not able to be with us physically this morning here, but are worshiping with us via Zoom. And those who enjoy our services on our website who will be listening afterwards. Let us now take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, 410. Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah.
Oh,
Let us pray. Living God, on this radiant Easter morning, we come with hearts lifted by the good news. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. We gather to rejoice, to remember, and to worship, not because we are perfect, but because your grace meets us in our imperfection. You have rolled away the stone, broken the power of death, and invited us into new life. We come as your people, grateful, expectant, and in need of your mercy. Risen Lord, we confess that too often we live as though the tomb were still sealed. We let fear overshadow faith. We cling to past regrets. We remain silent when you call us to speak, and we walk in sadness when you offer joy. We confess the times we've turned away from your light, choosing what is easy over what is true, holding on to bitterness rather than offering grace, and forgetting the victory you have won. Forgive us, Lord. Roll away the stones that block our hearts, stones of doubt, resentment, and pride. Breathe into us again your resurrection life. Renew us by your Spirit, that we might live as Easter people with courage, compassion, and hope. Risen Christ, walk with us as you walked with the women at the tomb, as you met the disciples on the road, and as you meet us here today just as we are. To you be glory and honor now and always. We pray in the words our Savior gave us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, ever and ever. Amen. We've had Holy Day Club for the week, and now they will be thrilling us with a drama.
Our next part of service is where Hall the Club take over. So we'd like to welcome all our families and children who have come to today from Hall the Club. So we'd like to invite all the children to come down to the front, please. Okay. And team two, come on. Those with red t-shirts and lanyards on, you as well, come on. Even if you're not part of the club, any child can come down to the front, that's okay, come on. We can all get involved, it's okay, come on. We've had an amazing drama all week, haven't we, guys? Yeah. And we're going to invite our drama team to come up and lead us in our special extra behind-the-scenes drama. So Jane, up you come.
And happy Easter to everyone. Last week at our Easter holiday club, we had a knight's quest where Percy was chosen by the king to find and slay the dragon who was terrorizing the village. So, let's see what happened during the week. Oh, is that another dragon? I'm out of here.
Dragons? Who's afraid of a dragon? Not me.
You did have your moments on the quest, Percy.
Yeah, I suppose I did. But I was just amazed that the king chose me to go on the quest. I've never thought of myself being very brave. I don't look like a brave knight.
Hello, Sage.
I heard what you had said, Percy. You were brave indeed. The king chose you because your heart is pure, not the way you look like.
At one point, I wanted to give up and go home when I found out how big and dangerous the dragon was.
But you didn't, did you?
Remember, Percy, you've had the faith in the king. He would provide everything that you need. Do you remember what he gave you?
my shield of faith. I did feel braver after that.
I was glad that I could join you in the quest.
It was good having you along, Bob. But do you remember you wanted me to do a cowardly thing when we were in the cave?
Yes. It was wrong of me to ask you to kill the dragon while it was asleep. You didn't do it, thank goodness.
But Percy, you showed great wisdom and obedience and waited for the right moment to help from the king.
He gave me the belt of truth and the sword of spirit.
You did let having the sword go to your head a wee bit, but only for a wee bit.
Yes, I kind of thought that I was untouchable and that everyone would be safe with me. But then I got injured a few times by the dragon and let him get away. I really thought then I was not the knight for the job.
You wanted to go home and lost your faith after one defeat.
But Sage, you didn't come to help him.
He didn't ask for help. He just went and attacked the dragon.
But he didn't give up.
That's right. The king sent you a breastplate of righteousness and shoes of readiness.
So your heart would be protected and your feet would be quick.
The last straw was when the dragon captured Bill the pony. I had to do something to help and rescue our noble steed.
He was with us all through the quest.
But I couldn't do it alone.
You did the right thing, Percy. You asked for help and the king gave you the helmet of salvation to protect you and your friends.
And we were protected. You, Percy, slayed the dragon and freed Bill.
I did. I could not have done it without you, Bob. But most importantly, the king. He believed in me, and I believed that with my belief in him, I would succeed.
Well done, wise young man. May you wear the armor of God and every day to help you.
Not again.
Not again.
Oh, let's go.
Alrighty. We're going to sing our first of two songs, King of Me. Can I get anybody to help me with that? She said, Jacob, do you both want to come out? Great, come on out. I'm expecting full audience participation. Okay? The kids, these guys know their actions. When the song starts, we're going to get you to stand up and we're going to sing the song together. Follow us for the actions. So I'm expecting full participation, including you, choir, and Amos.
You heard the story by my friend King Dave? Wouldn't let the giant stand in his way. He said, hand me my sling, cause he's not that tall. My God is bigger and I'll watch him fall. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. Have you heard the one about this guy called Dan? Yes, he was a mighty holy praying man. They said, throw him to the den of the scary beast. But God saved a hero from the lion's teeth. Yeah! My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. History, you will do the same for me, like Jonah and the whale at sea. When I'm lost and afraid, all alone in the dark, you're with me. Oh, you're with me. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. My God's the king of me.
Well done. Thank you, well done. You can grab a seat just now. We've had a great week of Hall's Club, haven't we? Yeah, and we're looking at, how many kings were we looking at this week? How many kings? Two kings! We're looking at A Tale of Two Kings, hence the medieval decorations you see around the church. Just to give you a little bit of numbers, we had 51 children come along to Hall the Club, which is amazing. We had 45 primary school children and 6 unbelievably amazing under 16 helpers that came throughout the week. So we were aiming for 50 and we got 51 through prayer. So praise God. So well done. Okay. Which king were we looking at for the first 4 days? King David, that is right. And then on the last day? Jesus, that's right. Okay, you're going to need to get the Sharpies as well. You can get the Sharpies. So, on Monday, David was... What was the first one? Was anointed. It's not there, though, but it was anointed. That's right. Okay. David was anointed to be king of Israel when he was just a little boy, wasn't he? Then on Tuesday, we looked at David taking down Goliath, took down giant. And he was faithful. David was unafraid of Goliath because God was with him. This taught us if we remain faithful to him, to God, like David did, we can overcome anything, right? On Wednesday, we learned that David was obedient to God. Jacob, you're my star pupil, honestly. That's great. David was obedient to God. So when David had the chance to kill his enemy, what was Saul doing? Can you remember? He was jealous, he was chasing him, and David was hiding in the cave, and then Saul went into the same cave to... He was doing a wee pee. Shh. Okay. David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but did he?
No.
No, he followed God and did the right thing. And then on Thursday, we looked at David again, and he was repentant. Why did he need to be repentant? Yes, Jacob.
Because...
Different Jacob. Yes, Jacob. That's right. He tried to steal somebody else's wife. And he did a very bad thing. He did do that until Nathan the prophet came and spoke to him. And we had one person with one toy. Do you remember that? And one person with all the toys. I think that was Callum that had all the toys, wasn't it? And then Callum, what did you do in that story? You stole the one toy, didn't you? And Nathan was like, Nathan told that story to David. And David got really upset, didn't he? And Nathan went, well, that was you. You did that. And David became repentant. So that was on Thursday. And then on Friday, which was only 2 days ago, feels like a week ago, but it was only 2 days ago, what did we look at? Forgiving. Yeah, we did, didn't we? Forgiving and Bethlehem. Bethlehem? Did we celebrate Christmas?
Yeah.
At Easter?
Yeah.
We did, didn't we? We celebrated Christmas at Easter. We looked at King Jesus, who was our Messiah. He was faithful, he was obedient, didn't need to be dependent. He was forgiving towards us, and he was born in Bethlehem. And that was the story for a week. So, but we're missing out a key part of the story, aren't we? We're missing out Easter, and that's what it's all about this weekend. So, I've got William out here to help me. I've got some eggs. William, can you tell me, what's that egg like?
Quite solid.
Quite solid, okay? Yeah, okay. What's... Can you describe this egg to me, somebody?
It's an egg.
It's an egg. What does an egg look like, for those who've never seen it before?
It's oval.
It's round, it's hard, it's cold. Isn't it quite cold?
What is
called the oval shape? It's oval. Okay. So, this egg's round, it's cold, it's pink on the outside, and it's got a hard shell. Yeah? So, what are some of the wrong things people do? This is where you need a Sharpie. No, well, yes, kind of. But, like, in general, maybe I should have been more specific. That's my fault. What are some wrong things people do in today's world? Not just the egg, in the world. People do in general. Nothing to do with the egg. Tell me. Stealing. So write that down in the egg, please. Okay. Give me some more. Shout out some more. Murder. Yeah. Pardon? Psychopath, thanks, okay. Mean, yeah, okay. What else? Give me some more bad things people do. Yes?
Arson.
Pardon? Arson, yeah, okay, that's a big one. Wow, okay. Any more? Setting fire to things, by the way, okay. Getting worried for your boys. Yes, Ted? Cheating? Yeah. Some more. What are something? Yes, Anna? Pushing. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Keep going. Disobedience. Thank you. Any more audience participation? Any more shout? Some more bad things people do? Anybody? Steal? Someone says steal. Lie. People lie, don't they? Yeah. Angry? Yeah, sometimes getting angry is a bad thing. Yeah. People throwing pies in people's faces, okay? Just remember that, leaders, when it happens later, okay? Any more? Cruel. Cruel, yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Okay, you getting these all down, William? What else? Bullying? Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Bullying. Cyberbullying, yeah, okay. Anything else? Come on, leaders, think of more, come on. Not tidying your room when your parents ask you. Yeah. Yeah. Taking extra sweets, we said about that, didn't we? Yeah. Naughty, yeah.
I did that. When you said that, I actually already did it yesterday.
Did you?
There was like literally a pile of
nice.
Sweets in front of me. And then my sister ate all of them.
Nice. Chucking people out, yeah, okay. Excluding people, that's quite mean, isn't it? Yeah, excluding people. Right. Now what's happened with the egg? It's black, isn't it?
It's covered in words.
It's words. It's also very black, isn't it? It's no longer pink. You got that as well? Let's see your egg. Yep, covered in black. Let's see what happens next. Do it again. Now, as we're peeling the eggs, I'm going to tell you a little story. Can you peel the eggs? William's up here.
Yeah? Yeah.
As William's peeling eggs, I'm going to tell you a little story. Jesus, we know, is God's son. He was sent to earth as a baby. He grew up learning the Bible and telling others about God. And guess what? He never sinned, not even once. There was people who hated him so much that they called him names. They beat him up and nailed him to a cross and watched him die. But Jesus is God's son, so he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, Jesus came back to life, and now he lives in heaven as our king. When we tell Jesus that we believe that he did, that he died for us to forgive our sins, and that we're sorry, he's so excited to forgive us. When that happens, he peels away the hard shell, the messy stuff on our hearts. Our hearts are like the egg covered in sin. It's all peeled away. And just like we are taking away the shell from this egg, he makes our hearts white as snow, clean and pure. Now, how does the egg look now? A little bit, yeah. Kind of looks like a little bit of a heart, doesn't it? It's white, isn't it? Anna, do you want to feel that? Can somebody feel this? Jacob, come out. Okay, tell me, is it soft?
Yeah.
Soft, isn't it? It's soft and white and clean. And that's what Jesus does to our hearts. When we believe him and we ask him to forgive our sins, that's what happens. He makes our hearts white and clean and clear. Thank you so much, William. I appreciate your time. I think now it's time to sing another song. We are going to be singing All Through History. That's it. If we can get back up on our feet again, full audience participation is good. Lewis, do you want to come out for this one? Aero, do you want to come out for this one? Do the actions? No? Anybody else want to do the actions? Jacob and Ted, come on out. Right, come on. Okay. Air guitars.
Moses led his people through the sea. humble shepherd boy became a king. The Lord was good, the Lord was strong, and David lived his life for him. Daniel was inside a lion's den, but God brought him to safety once again. The Lord was good, the Lord was strong, and Daniel lived his life for him. Get to know our God again. The Lord is good, the Lord is strong, and we will live our lives for Him.
I think today, I mean, you've got off scot-free this week, Chris.
Have I?
You have. So I think it's going to be Chris. The one's going to be Amos.
Yes, Amos, kindly up, so come on. You ready for this, Amos?
I don't know.
No, you don't know? I think Stuart's got some questions.
I do. So I have six questions, three for Chris, three for Amos, and then a tiebreak at the end.
You're going down, Amos. You're going to get messy today, totally. Who thinks Amos is going to get messy today? Yes! Who thinks I'm going to get messy today?
Yes!
Oh, okay, right.
Okay, question one is to Chris. What word was on the signpost on day one, and how was it spelt?
Oh, it was anointed, but it had two N's.
It did. It had two ends at the beginning.
Okay,
it's one point to Chris.
Yes, 1 point.
Question two. This one's to you, Amos. What was the name of the Philistines' giant champion? That David Goliath. That's correct. That's 1 point to Amos. Yes. Chris, your second question. What was the name of the pony in this week's drama?
Why are you shaking your hand, Kevin?
He knows all the answers.
He does, doesn't he? Was it Kevin?
It wasn't Kevin.
Oh, no! Oh.
The correct answer was...
It was Bill.
It was Bill.
Oh, no!
Chris stays on 1 point. Amos, you have a chance to take the lead here. Which country was David the king of?
Israel.
That's correct. 2 points to Amos. Chris,
yes.
You need to redeem yourself with this one. What was the name of Bathsheba's first husband?
I know this. Hold on. Was it Uriah?
It was Uriah.
Yes!
2-2.
Oh no, don't get us right, Amos. Can't have another pie in the face. Come on.
Amos, you can win it here. You can get Chris. You can get Chris. Where is it? I have no idea where it is. Somewhere over there.
Here, ready for any film, okay?
How many days this week did Holiday Club run for?
5 days.
5 days is correct. Amos is the winner.
Would you like to see the honors, Amos?
Okay, so we're going to have a countdown from 10. Ready? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, oh!
Hello! We are now going to take our children out to the hall. We hope you enjoy your service, the rest of the service. We're going to have lots of fun in the hall and upstairs doing crafts and games.
Our first reading is taken from Daniel, reading from chapter 3, verses 13 to 30. It can be found on page 886 of the Pew Bible and is also shown on the overhead. Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to 30. The image of gold and the fiery furnace. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of the nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke, reading chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. This is shown on the overhead or can be found on page 1061 of the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. The Resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed in lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. We continue with our praise by joining together to sing hymn 416, "Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing."
Let us pray. Risen Lord, you who broke the silence of the tomb and rolled away the stone, come now and break open your word to us. In a world heavy with sorrow and stories too painful to speak aloud, shine your resurrection light We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen hope, our companion in the flames, and our peace in the storm. Amen. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Happy, happy Easter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have to say, 9 Easters in, and you still haven't got tired of me. Either that, or you are just very good at being polite in Scotland. It is hard to believe it's been nearly a decade. That is longer than most houseplants survive under my care. And unlike my attempts at gardening, you have actually flourished through Lent, lockdowns, and the occasional sermon that went 5 minutes too long. But truly, this is now my 9th Easter with you here at Newport-on-Tay. And year after year, I remain deeply grateful, not only for the privilege of opening the scriptures with you, but for the sacred trust of walking together as a community. We have gathered around kitchen tables and communion tables, in hospital rooms and corridors, and in graveside prayers. We have laughed, mourned, questioned, and sung. And through it all, I have been shaped by every story. Since my father died in June 2021 and I traveled back to Cameroon to lay him to rest, I have thought often about resurrection, not just as a doctrine, but as a defiant hope in the face of loss, disillusionment, and a world that, quite frankly, feels aflame with conflict. Because let us be honest, the world we are living in is weary. We are carrying the weight of too much news. From the war in Ukraine to the ongoing conflict in Gaza and Israel, and in my home country, Cameroon, from the waves of displaced migrants crossing seas in desperation to economic injustice in communities near and far, we are surrounded by the sound of cracking foundations. But even beyond the headlines, conflict lives closer than we like to admit. In the silence of our living rooms, in the tension around our dinner tables, in family feuds that never quite heal, and in the anxiety that wakes us at 3 a.m. Many among us struggle with depression, burnout, and the silent heaviness of mental health battles. And for those of us who have left home, perhaps to seek peace, opportunity, or safety, the immigrant's journey is itself a daily balance between hope and hardship. The German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche once commented, "He who has a why to live can bear almost anyhow." On Easter Sunday, we are given not only a why, we are given a who. Resurrection tells us that love has already broken the seal on the tomb. And no matter how dark the present feels, it is not the end of the story. Today we proclaim that the crucified Christ is also the risen Christ. And that means that in all our suffering, we are never alone and never without hope. This morning, as we turn to Luke's gospel and hear again the astonishing report that Jesus is no longer among the dead but among the living, I want to remind you that Easter is not simply a day for lilies and loud hallelujahs. It is not only for the sun-drenched mornings when everything makes sense. No, Easter dawned in a graveyard while it was still dark, among weeping women and confused disciples, and it still does. Luke 24 begins not in clarity but in bewilderment. The women who come to the tomb are faithful, yes, but their hands are full of burial spices, not party streamers. They come expecting death, not life, and when they arrive, the body is missing. Heaven sends messengers, but instead of joy, the first reaction is terror. The angelic question pierces the darkness. Why do you look for the living among the dead? A question meant not just for first century seekers, but for us too. My dear friends, we often search for hope in lifeless places, don't we? We return to tombs of the past, tombs of regret, cynicism, resignation, or even nostalgia, and try to anoint them with old comforts. But the Easter proclamation insists he is not here. Resurrection never happens where we expect it. It happens where stones are rolled away, where endings are undone, and where death is not the last word. But here is what I love. The messengers don't say, go find him immediately. Instead, they say, remember. Remember how he told you. Easter faith begins in memory, not as sentimental escapism, but as a bridge between pain and promise. The women remembered his words, and that remembering led them to run. Memory turned mourning into mission. Yet when they return to the disciples, eager to share this wonder, their words are dismissed as nonsense. The Greek word used here, leros, is the only time it appears in the New Testament, and it means something like delirious babbling, what a medical doctor might call a fever dream. The women's witness, like so many others throughout history, is brushed off because they are deemed too emotional, too marginal, too female. But friends, let us not forget, the first preachers of the resurrection were not priests or scribes, but women who dared to remember and speak. One of the most poignant aspects of Luke's telling is that Jesus himself does not appear in these first verses. He is absent. His body is gone. There is mystery and uncertainty, and this too is part of the resurrection story. For many of us today, grieving loved ones, wrestling with illness, watching the news through weary eyes, Easter doesn't begin with clarity, but with a question. What if? What if the tomb is empty? What if our despair isn't the whole story? What if the worst thing is not the last thing? And Peter, upon hearing the women, runs to the tomb. He stoops low, peers in, sees only linen clothes, and walks away, wondering to himself what had happened. I love that detail. He wondered. It wasn't a lightning bolt revelation. It was a staring, a deep pondering. Easter doesn't demand instant belief. It invites holy curiosity. And this theme of holy deliverance, of hope rising through the fire, reminds me of that powerful story from Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before the fiery furnace, defying the king's idol. Their faith wasn't grounded in guarantees. They said, our God is able to save us, but even if he does not, we will not bow. Dear friends, there are seasons in life when everything around us feels like fire, unrelenting, consuming, and threatening to break us. We find ourselves like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing in the midst of furnaces we did not choose. The crushing weight of responsibilities at home, at work, and even in the universities. The avalanche of bad news about wars and power games in high places. The harsh and often brutal treatment of immigrants in lands that promised refuge but delivered rejection, some even shackled and flown back like cargo, evoking the horrors of the transatlantic slave trade. We see it with diagnoses from hospital rooms that shake our hope and push us to the edge of existence. We contend daily with the machinations of those who operate in cruelty, Those who sow discord, those who through disdain and deliberate harm make life heavy to bear. Yet Daniel 3 reminds us of a deeper truth. We are not alone in the fire. The God who joined the three men in the furnace still walks with us today. The heat may rise, the pressure may mount, but the flames will not consume us. The same God who preserved them in Babylon is the same God who is with us now, comforting, sustaining, and delivering. Easter then is not the denial of suffering, but the defiance of it. God does not promise we will be spared the fire, but he does promise presence in the flames. And that is what the women at the tomb begin to understand. That is what Peter begins to wonder. That is what we gather today to proclaim, not because we have it all figured out, but because we trust that even in the shadow of death, life breaks forth. As we prepare to come to the table, I think of the old hymn, "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come." That's how Easter meets us, not just in our strength, but in our weakness, not just in certainty, but in stammering hallelujahs, just as we are, with aching knees and hopeful hearts, we come. And around this table, like those disciples on the Emmaus Road, we too may find our eyes opened in the breaking of the bread. We too may feel our hearts burn as the scriptures are opened. We too may return from our dark places with new stories to tell. So let us eat. Let us remember. Let us hope. Let us pray. Risen Christ, we come to you just as we are, wounded, weary, wandering. Meet us in our uncertainty, speak to our doubts, and walk with us on the road ahead. Roll away the stones we have placed around our hearts. Kindle a fire of hope within us. Let us remember, rejoice, and return again and again to the truth. You are not here. You are risen. Amen. Team, Junior Priest 159, "Lo, in the grave he lay." The words are printed on the order of service.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus, on this Easter morning we lift our prayers with hearts full of both wonder and weariness. We bring our world, our communities, and our very selves before the throne of grace, trusting not in our strength but in the power of resurrection, where stones are rolled away and flames do not consume. God of the empty tomb, we pray for a weary world where death and despair seem to shout the loudest, where war rages in Ukraine, in Gaza and Israel, in Cameroon and elsewhere. We ask for peace that is deeper than politics and for justice that heals what weapons have shattered. God of the fire and the furnace, we remember all who stand in the heat of affliction today, those battling illness, depression, anxiety, and those caring for loved ones with empty reserves. Walk with them, Lord. Be the fourth in the fire. Let them know they are not alone. And now, Lord, for all the unspoken prayers of our hearts, the names we carry in silence, the questions we dare not voice, the burdens we are tired of holding, we offer them to you. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads, number 19.
Just a quick few words before Amos starts the communion part of our service. Communion will be served from the front of the church to the back. When you have been served, please hold on to both the bread and the wine and wait for Amos's instruction for us all to take the elements together. For those wanting gluten-free bread, it is in the bowl in the centre of the bread tray. If there is no bowl in the centre of the bread tray, all the bread is gluten-free. And there is a non-alcoholic option in the glasses surrounded by a white ring. Thank you.
Come, all who hungry for hope. Come, all who thirst for grace. This is the table not of the church, but of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and for those who would like to love him more. So come, not because you must, but because you may. Come, not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come, not because you have all the answers, but because you are hungry for the mystery of God's presence. We will now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Generous and risen Lord, all we have comes from you, our time, our talents, our treasures. We bring these gifts today not as payment, but as signs of our gratitude and trust. Use them to feed the hungry, comfort the weary, and build your kingdom of justice and joy. Bless both the gift and the giver. Bless this wine and this bread, that they become to us the body and blood of the risen Christ. Dear Father, we praise you for the gift of creation and for the love that brought Jesus into the world, to live among us, to suffer with us, to die for us, and to rise again in glory. Through him, you have rolled away the stone of sin and death and opened to us the gates of everlasting life. With joy and thanksgiving, we praise your most holy name. Amen. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. My body, which is broken for you, do this in memory of me." In the same way, also after the supper, he took the chalice. And when he had blessed and given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you, my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me." Happy are you who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come now with faith and repentant hearts to the table which the Lord has prepared for us. Take and eat of his bread of life and drink of his cup of salvation with thanksgiving. Let us eat the body of Christ broken for us on the cross of Calvary. We drink together the blood of Christ shed for us on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us pray. Risen Christ, you have met us at this table, fed us with grace, and nourished our hearts with resurrection hope. Now send us out to love and to serve, to live as Easter people and to share the joy we have received. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We bring our service to its close singing, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son, 419. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.